Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And happy to see everybody's face. I hope you're happy to see my face. We start with our teaching, a little meditation practice. So as I introduce the breathing exercise, so sit upright, everybody, as straight as possible. And then long exhale and long inhale. In between 5 to 10 seconds, hold. And intention is to calm your body, calm down, your mind, calm down, body and mind. Use two nose, slightly mouth closed, long exhale, long inhale. It seems like time divided into three parts. One is exhale, one is inhale, and one is in between, whether it's inside or whether it's outside. Divide into three parts. Each one of these three parts is a part of practice of mindfulness and awareness. Mindfulness, awareness, with when you exhale, completely let it go inside, out the air. When you inhale, completely fresh, get in into you. Through mindfulness and awareness. Breathing exercise practiced with mindfulness and awareness. Mindfulness, awareness is everything, whether you're exhaling, inhaling. 21 times or half hour, whole session, you can have breathing practice. It is a relatively easy practice, but it is a powerful practice. If you are overexcited, if you are stressed out, or if you are very confused situation, in many cases, it helps tremendously. Therefore, it's a, I call, powerful practice. You become good practitioner, if you practice and become master on the breathing exercise, breathing meditation. So why don't we do, instead of me talk? So we are going to talk from the Heartfelt Advice book. Do you have any request, particular chapter, anybody? And if you don't have, you don't have to find. Because when you read homework in your home, you might like to ask particular chapter to read again, explain. That's how it works. I'm not asking you now, you look and find something for me. No, I can find it too. But anyway, so I have to find somewhere to talk about something. Okay, short one we're going to talk. I am page 104, if you have the text. And when you study with this Lama, this book is very handy because he might be talking from this book a lot. So therefore, it's like the Dharma book. That is... very maximum you use during the period of time when you study with me. And in the future, when you study with the other lamas, I'm sure they will manage to give you other book. So I'm page 104, identifying a genuine practitioner. So basically, we are here to become a good person, become a good person also comes with a few other things, like doing the right thing and saying the right thing. Become a good person also, it means become a good husband, become a good wife, become a good partner, become a good son, daughter, good father, mother, good grandfather, grandma. Name goes on the list and goes on. And become a good practitioner is somebody special, somebody very important for other living beings. I don't have to answer. New Yorkers. Celebration about Karmapa birthday at the KTD, a large Tibetan community is going up there, so they're making big deal. And we're making big deal right here. I think we try to be good person, we try to be more genuine. That's our goal. That's a universal goal. But how many of you feel like you are important, you are genuine? Because in my senses, feeling, when I put my mind with your mind, I feel there's a lot of dissatisfaction, disappointment, hurts, confused, and not necessarily so feel like genuine, special. And generally speaking, of course, some individuals do have those feelings, but majority don't feel that way. So therefore, we need to improve, become genuine, become good person. You know, become good person means somebody not committing any negative karma or committing crimes. Man-made rule. That crime is punishment, and you're not allowed to do that. And the law of karma, cause and effect, it's even a more severe, more intense. So in order to become genuine practitioner, we need to watch guidelines very closely. So identifying a genuine practitioner. Of course, if you don't feel like you're a genuine practitioner, then we have work to do. But if you already feel like you're a genuine practitioner, then you really need to be watch more closely guidelines, because you may be violating, you may be breaking a lot of rules of practice. It is easy to differentiate between genuine practitioner and non-practitioner by simply observing his view. So one thing, how we can differentiate between a genuine practitioner and the not so genuine practitioner is the view is totally different. Their focus is different. Their direction is a sort of different. They are walking towards a different direction. Simple as that. So it will become obviously for everybody. So he says that they are simply observing his view, meditation, and conduct. In more detail, the view is one thing, and the practice is another story. And third one is conduct. When conduct is your body, speech, your mind, how you spend time with your body, speech, mind every day. That will be the contact. Are your body, spiritual, mind more in spiritual, in a dharma practice, or in how you say, non-dharmic things like samsara activities? Easy to figure out, everybody. As we are involved in dharma practice, changes occurred in our view, meditation, and conduct in accordance with the dharma. The idea is that when you take classes and meditate and learn dharma practice, your view changing, your meditation goal is changing, and your conduct is changing. And that is the reason that the Baba Guruji is so important. The Baba Lamaji is so important, because if there's no Baba Lamaji, you have a difficult to learn first. You can learn without anybody, but it will be more harder. Like following some kind of pattern, it's more easier than following math is easier than no math at all. So therefore, Baba Guruji is very important. So the idea is you learn view, meditation, and conduct from Baba Lamaji. That way, then you get his wisdom, so that therefore now you are using your body, speech, mind totally, and right view, right meditation, and right conduct. As a result, we see that we become outwardly stronger while inwardly growing more gentle. This is a kind of like a secret teaching. You might not think it's a secret because I'm talking with the people, everybody, but it's very secret. You know why? Most people will not hear. That is because it's a secret. It's not I'm not talking equally. It's just most people don't hear it. And therefore, it's a secret. So that is here it's saying, As a result, we see that we become outwardly stronger while inwardly growing more gentle. What are we talking about here? You will feel stronger, more reliable, stronger, the eyes of all sentient beings. But inside your mind, your anger, your attachment, your ego become more gentle. Not necessarily they go away. You can still keep it. That's all what we got. We have got to keep that. But it will be much gentle and more easier and more passive, not so active, in other words. That's what I mean. And that happening because whenever your meditation, view of meditation and contact is in the right direction with the Baba Lamaji. By outward strength, we are referring to the practitioner's ability to face challenges and turmoil with wisdom and perseverances. Yet the inner gentleness allows us to maintain kindness, love, and compassion towards all sentient beings. And that is called tuta or gomta in Tibetan word. It's a sign of some maturity. Maturity means you are maturing. Maturing means your wisdom and your dharma practice is maturing. It does not necessarily mean little boy or little young person is more mature as adult. It means your wisdom, your spiritual practice is more maturing. That means that. So the sign of maturity is gentleness allow us to maintain kindness, love, compassion towards all sentient beings. All sentient beings will bring you a lot of problems as well as a lot of goodies. But the problem is we like to take the goodies and the problems we will don't like to take it. But we have to take a package or you don't take either one of them. But that's very difficult, not take them, because you can't survive yourself without depending on others. That will be irrelevant, very difficult to do. So therefore, we are depend on each other, interconnect with each other. Therefore, their kindness and compassion, we accept it. But their problems, suffering, we also have to deal with it. So how you deal with it? Then you send, it says, send your love and compassion towards all sentient beings. Sentient beings that once a few feet away from you, but million feet away from you also. Near and far, both you have to include it. Once you deal with it immediately, once you're not dealing with it now, but you have to deal with it later. So it's both. You have to be embrace them. And without exception, it's difficult, but it is a mature student, genuine practitioner. Identify a genuine practitioner. He or she can understand without exception. Realize that nobody should be left behind. All included. That means the toughest one, difficult ones that you deal with, you have to be deal with them. And then, of course, once you don't know yet, you feel like those are easy to deal with. They are equally difficult to deal with, the one you have difficult to deal with, but that you're not dealing with them, so it looks like the others seems very easy to deal with. The one you deal with, it seems very difficult. No. Everybody has difficult to deal with. It's just because who you deal with now, you seem that those are the difficult ones. That is the concept. But the reality, all equally important, and no without exception. Additionally, the genuine practitioner will fulfill his vows and commitments in accordance with the Dharma. So we all have a difficult to follow in accordance with the Buddha Dharma. Teacher, student, and followers. Of course, no, those sentient beings are not following any Dharma have nothing to do with it because they never try yet. But those who are on the path of Buddha Dharma, we all have a task. We face problems in order to follow in accordance with the Buddha Dharma. So, what we need to do is we work hard on our view and meditation and conduct. We work hard so we become identifying genuine practitioner, become a more genuine practitioner. Genuine practitioner will be a genuine practitioner seems like a break through the many, many walls, many, many obstacles. They get through it. Many practitioners, the first wall or first door, they turn around. They haven't got to the second door. They haven't got the third door yet. But the first door, when they're getting close to the first door, they say, I cannot take it. I better turn around. So you walk forward a few steps, 10 steps of backward you do. So it's like overall you went more backward than forward. That analysis makes sense to you, then make sure you don't go backward. Make sure you go forward in your life. Your life is your responsible. It's not somebody else responsible. We all equally responsible for our own life. What we do, what kind of view we should have, what kind of meditation we should be engaging, what should conduct. Conduct is a body, speech, or mind, how you spend time with them. Has to do with the Dharma. So we are responsible for our own action. Karma is not a punishment. It is a result of what we plan seed. So we plant the seed, when result come out, we get surprised. And we begin to say, it's nothing to do with me. You don't realize you plant the water, seed, soil, sunlight, every cause and condition you manage to put together. But when the fruit come out, when flower come out, you begin to tell everybody, I have nothing to do with this, by the way. But I have to deal with it. That's not fair. And you try to talk out of that. Means you try to excuse yourself because you don't want to accept that. That is. It's like you kill somebody and then you refuse to say, I have nothing to do with it. You can say, I was asleep. Or you can say, I was in a different state of my mind. Or you can say, I was confused. Still, it is your activity. Still, it is your activity thing. So, karma, it's not punishment. Karma is our own voluntarily creation of activities that we done. Now we do need to do undo it. And so here is the genuine practitioner will fulfill his vows and commitments. Keeping the commitment, keeping the vows, it's very rare, but it is very valuable. You have vows to keep. You have vows to Dharma practice. You have vows to be a good person. You have a responsibility of certain things, like marriage vows. Or maybe you have vows to be not hurt all sentient beings. Maybe you took vows to take refuge from Buddha, that you will firmly stay with the Buddha and Dharma and the Sangha. The teacher and the teachings and then path that follow with your Sangha. You have firmly commitment to that. That is the most valuable thing for spiritual followers. If you are not spiritual follower, then those three are not so important. But those three are very important if you are following spiritual, because those are our most valuable commodity available for you in your life. And here is saying, and subsequently, his virtuous prosperity will continue to increase. More we increase, then we have more benefits, because it will bring other benefits to, side by side. Just like problems, more problems, the other problem brings other problems. So they are kind of like a side, it comes with a byproduct or whatever we call. It comes with package. And now, the true practitioner will find that his perseverance and diligence continue to increase. And he dedicates his body, speech, mind to his Dharma practice. And a Dharma practice means the practice wholesome action with all sentient beings. You practice your body, speech, your mind, not harmful things, but helpful things to serve humanity, to serve all sentient beings. So that is the last part, finally. The true practitioner will find that he's persevering. Persevering is, when we do something, it takes effort. Sometimes you feel like really it's hard to do it. Especially if you do meditation, which is new to you, and it takes a lot of effort. And you feel immediately when you meditate, you feel like, I need to go to bed and lay down. Right away, because you're a little calming down, all you can think of is lay down and sleep. So that means persevering is shaky. But the persevering here has a connotation. Doing something makes you so happy. There's nothing more happy than doing meditation and practice. Then that is a word we call persevering. Doing something make you so relaxed, so happy. If that happened, perhaps you are identifying a genuine practitioner. Just like the title chapter says, page 104 says, doing something. Until you're struggling and you don't feel like doing something very special and make you happy, you have a long way to go. Simple as that. Your body, it's supposed to be under your control. But I'm not 100% sure you feel that or not. Your speech is 100% you control, but I'm not sure either. And then last one, your mind is supposed to be you're under control, but sometimes the wild elephant, wild horse, or wild monkey mind, it's not so control. It's everywhere, and it's everywhere. In fact, you can't hold on a few seconds on one spot. If you can't hold in a few seconds in one spot, where is your meditation go? Where is your meditation? Your meditation is vulnerable, weak, in my opinion. So, see, we dedicate our body, speech, and mind to the Buddha Dharma in order to benefit all sentient beings, rather than waste our body, speech, or mind for nothing. Furthermore, we waste our body, speech, or mind harmful things. You know, harmful things for all sentient beings, especially our near and dear ones who we deal with day to day. We're hurting their feelings. Not good. Not so good. We waste it, but also we manage to create a lot of negative karma between you and your fellow near and dear ones. The reason you create a negative karma with a fellow near and dear one is because near and dear ones kind of like available to talk to, whereas other people, other living beings seems like hard to connect it. Now we're going to meditate right here and see you remember anything from this chapter that I presented this morning with you, with my love and respect. Let's meditate. Any questions? Yes, please, go ahead.
I have a simple question.
I hope so.
Can you explain the difference between meditation and contemplation?
How about contemplating is a part of preparation for meditation? And meditation will be, let's say meditation is a real, if it's a meditation is a stillness, contemplating is whatever it takes to stillness. So it is a part of the same thing, but it is one is maybe preparation. Like you try to contemplate, and once your contemplate is good, then you have meditation. How about that? Does that make sense? Anybody have any commentary?
So like the breathing technique that you showed this morning will be the first contemplation, and then once you start getting really with your breathing, you go beyond that, that's meditation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Western, or not just only Westerners, but also generally, concept of meditation is so wide, so it can be anything. So when we focus specifically, then we're talking about one-pointed meditation. We're talking about meditation on emptiness. We're talking about meditation on luminosity. So it depends on the different stages. All of those are part of the meditation, but what you're experiencing is a little different. But it takes meditation. All of those techniques, even a breathing, it takes a concentration, it takes focus, and then, well, those are all come together as you wish, then it becomes part of meditation. How about that? Yeah.
So Lama, as you merge right there, that's the meditation. So for busy people like most of us, that you go through the day, and it's a lot easier when you're kind of in a tranquil environment, and then you can connect to that space. But when you're like, you know, whether it's light stimulation or you're driving and people crossing or whatever else can happen through the day, that you're kind of get pulled apart all the time. So the meditation will be at that point that you get, like, whatever occurs there, you can catch yourself right there and just self-liberate it, like, so you don't cling to that emotion that might be negative. That will be basically the action of body, speech, and mind, in this case of mind first. So you calm yourself down, and then you don't do, you know, not bad speech, mm-hmm. not bad body action, right?
Those sounds like good. You're saying the right thing. Those are all sounds good. As a conclusion is a beginner, intermediate, and then advanced. And what level you are, that level you're dealing with it. That level you're dealing with it. So we can be at level one, but we can talk about level third. And there is no much connection much because we haven't do the level two yet. But we can also talk about level one and what the level one experience and what level one is, qualities of the level one. And then that way we can understand each other word to word. But what happened here is meditators or just anybody else, we have a tendency that we will doing actually body, speech, mind, maybe in a one level or two level or something, but really we are talking about the level three talking. And that level three experience is not quite available yet on the level two until you shift into level three. So this is just general, I'm talking about general problem or general situation that meditators face. All meditators face those kind of confusion. So just do what your level is, and most important is your view, your meditation, your conduct is in the right direction. And because of Heaven Baba Guruji, and if you follow the closely instructions, then you can't really go around too much. You will not get out of the loop completely. You know, you will be making mistakes, but you will be still on the same direction. Yeah, something like that. Okay.